Well, we're glad to see all of you here tonight. Corinne and I are leading this discussion on the diaconate, the Lutheran Church's best kept secret. And we hope all of you come away from here knowing a little bit more about what the diaconate is, what a deaconess is, and can take that information back home to your parishes and to other people so the news can get around that there are women in the church serving in this capacity. My name is Karen Washkes, and I've served 4 years in a parish in Mount Vernon, Washington. I come from a deaconess program located back in Valparaiso, Indiana. And Corinne, you want to say a little bit about yourself?
And my name is Corinne Schmidt, and I was a volunteer in a one-year program through the LCA Diaconate out of Gladwin, Pennsylvania, known as, unfortunately, the AIDS program. This stands for Associates in Diaconal Service. And so I'm a lay person who has spent some time at the LCA Diaconate and will be speaking from that standpoint.
I call our shirt tailor relation to deaconess program. So we're going to get started by talking about the question, what is a deaconess? And I think that's the most common asked question of me. And I have a long, short, and medium answer to that, depending how much time I have and how I feel on that day. I would say the short of it is it's women committed to faith and service in a position in the church. They have theological training, they're committed to community, and they serve their faith out in various roles. And I personally chose the route of serving in a parish. But golly, there's a variety of things that women can do, and that's what attracted me to the program in the first place. Campus ministry, working in a hospital, social ministry in terms of working in the inner city. Some other things. Can you think of, Corinne?
Did you mention chaplaincy? Various social service agencies, religious journalists. Oftentimes the deaconess will have secretarial training, and a bishop will wish to have a secretary who has some theological training as well as secretarial training. Any one of a number of varieties of positions, daycare.
I think that's what attracted me to the program, that I could take my gifts, and after I had my theological training, I could choose what areas I wanted to use them in. Parish is what I stepped into because that offers you a variety of experiences, and from the parish you can probably find an area or two that you really like and get further training in that and specialize in that later down the line.
The LCA Diaconate, with which I was associated, bases their call on a portion of Matthew 25, 36 through 40. And I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? When did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? When did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. On this passage, the LCA Diaconate bases their mission, and also on a passage from 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constrains us. And so this is the basis upon which they work.
I guess I think of people as our business, and I would say that I would think of myself as an enabler, helping others to do the work of the Lord, because I can't do it myself. And I hope that I could help others be his tool also.
Now, I think there are some differences, some likenesses and some differences between the program that Karen was in and the one that I saw. One of them is that the LCA Diaconate has a large mansion, and you'll probably see it in the slides if we have time, and I've got some photos and pictures over here. And part of the LCA community, deaconess community, is the community as being the backbone, the retreat. And their model for the diaconate is based on the European Mother House, where there is one central location, and that's always where you return if you want to go on retreat, and where you can meet your sisters in Christ. And that's a little bit different, I think, from the program that you run.
In our program, you attend Valparaiso University and get your training there. We don't have what you would call a mother house per se, but we do have a hall in which you reside your 2 years that you are at Valpo. You're required to be there at least 2 years. And in that 2 years, you do develop a sense of community. That's very important to our training, I think. Teaches you how to live together, and it's there to be a support and to help encourage that faith development that you'll need once you are out in the world serving. And I find, too, that that sense of community has followed me since I've left Valpo. I have connections in the Northwest with other deaconesses that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't had an opportunity to live at Deaconess Hall on the Valparaiso campus.
That's true. I always feel I was a little hesitant. It was a little difficult for me to call the women sister. You think, oh, that's very Catholic. And I think that's what some turns people off about a deaconess. Oh, it's so Catholic for we Lutherans, you know. And yet you really do feel a strong bond, and you really feel that these women are your sisters in Christ. And you know that they're constantly praying for you, and that you have that bond with them, even though it's, you know, on the other side of the country, in my case.
Out of our program, we're not encouraged to call each other sister, and I guess I'm not used to that, although some people have called me Sister Karen. I tag on to what Corinne has said. A part of our discipline out of our deaconess program is to pray a deaconess litany on Monday night, remembering our sisters wherever they're at, and praying for their work, whatever challenge that may be.
Another difference, I believe, is the garb. Is that right? The LCA Deaconess Program, the sisters do wear a garb. It will be blue or gray for a work garb, and then their dress garb or more formal garb is black, and always with a white collar. Through history, the garb has changed. And in the slides, you'll see one of the older or earlier garbs. Now, what's very interesting about this, and what I didn't understand when I first went to the diaconate, was that the garb for the deaconess who is working, especially in the inner city, is a kind of protection. And most people would think of someone dressed like this, dressed in black with a white collar, as a nun. And I think, too, nuns would tell you that in certain situations, this is a type of protection. And I don't know how that is in your case.
In my program, we really are not required to have a uniform. We have what we call our navy blues that we are to wear as a student. And we're encouraged to continue to wear in our hall. I didn't find it necessary in my 4 years of serving at Salem to wear that uniform because everybody knew that I was Deaconess Karen. And I didn't need that protection. I didn't need that to help people assume that I was a minister of the church. Now, if I went into a chaplaincy program, it might be a little different. I think I might think a little bit more about how I would want to present myself to people who really wouldn't know who I was. Corinne is talking about the LCA diaconate program. Well, I come out of a program in Valpo that has its origin in the Missouri Synod, but now it's more of an independent program serving all churches in the Lutheran Church.
And the ALC has had a diaconate in the past, too. And the history of this whole thing is very interesting. Sometime, maybe we'll do a little more about the history of the diaconate in this country. Incidentally, this is the 100th year And this month, the LCA Diaconate will celebrate its 100th year of continuous deaconess work in the United States. And the cross on the poster with the red background here is the LCA Deaconess Cross. And then Karen has drawn the pin, and both of these are worn as pins by deaconesses in two communities.
That's another way that we can be identified. I'm really proud of our pin. It's the Cairo indicating faith and service. And then the four different corners talk about the different areas we serve in terms of missionary work, the world, the globe, in terms of the church, in terms of at home, and in terms of in other institutions. That's an all-inclusive serving.
And the other cross on the red background is known as a budded cross, which the symbolism, I think, is quite exciting. Buds, growth, lots of, you know, exciting possibilities as you think of the cross as growing and expanding and spreading the good news. Incidentally, that's my design, which was adopted as their centennial.
Oh, I'm impressed.
And this is a banner that they will be using during their centennial year. And we hope this month to do some things in terms of commemoration of some of the early deaconesses who came over and speak a little bit about the history. In both instances, I think deaconesses may be celibate or they may marry, right?
Right. Originally, the deaconess program began for single women who really didn't have a place because they weren't married and didn't have a household to take care of. And so they needed something to do, and serving in the church was a legitimate thing for them to do. The program developed on that note, but as the years went by, both single and married women could become a part of the deaconess program and go through the training.
And what is training? Tell kind of what your preparation is or some of the options in terms of...
I'm really excited about the kinds of options we have at Valpo in terms of what a person can do and where at what point in their life they can enter the program. We have four options. I took the traditional route, which was taking my general requirements at a community college and then going to Valparaiso and attending there 2 years, majoring in theology, and then having a year of internship between my junior and senior year. And that gave me an opportunity to get some practical experience in that could help me in working through the theology that I was thinking through at Valpo. That's the traditional route. There's three other routes a person may go. One is if you have already your degree, you can go back to Valparaiso and attend the university for a year, get your theology courses in that time, and then do an internship. You may also, while you're at Valpo, have a double major. And when you have a double major, you take your requirements, say, in social work, and then you take some theology courses. It's not as intensive as the first way that I described. But again, you attend the theology classes. You get to experience a sense of community while living at Deaconess Hall, and you can be considered for consecration once you graduate. A fourth option is people who do not have a degree but have always been interested in work in the church can apply for our program and take some courses while staying in their home area via mail or via some community college in their area. And then they connect with Valpo and go through a personalized program of theological reflection and work on community. And again, that's the newest phase of our program, giving people opportunities that have maybe want to go for a second career or have been a mother and are at a point that they're free enough to try something new, and yet they don't feel ready to go for a full degree. And They would then talk to our head of our deaconess program about their interest in following the faith and service route, and they would work with her in developing an individualized program that would lead to them being certified as a deaconess.
Okay, then in the LCA, ordinarily you would get whatever preparation you wanted in terms of a profession, nursing, teaching, whatever, social work. Then you would take a minimum of a year of theological study, a year or two. Then you would spend 3 months in a program at the diaconate in Gladwin, Pennsylvania. And then you would go through a ceremony that is known as investiture. And at that time you would receive a pin, and you'd be accepted into the community as a deaconess. You would be allowed to wear the garb and would be called sister. And this would be the beginning of a 9-month internship in the area that you would like to work in the future. After that time, then, you are set apart, and this would parallel the consecration ceremony that Karen has talked about. And at this time, then, you would get the deaconess cross, which is the budded cross, and this would be a symbol that you were the full-fledged deaconess.
Their training is a little more extensive than ours. We had some women in our program that had reflected on whether they should go to Valparaiso's program or to the LCA program. And some of them chose our program because it seemed like the women that went through the LCA program, they could go one more year and become a pastor. They had that much training behind them. So that was something that they thought through when they decided on programs.
That's interesting that you mention ordination, because some of the young women who were invested last summer, some of us in the volunteer program spoke to them and said, oh, why don't you go on for ordination? They said, we don't want to. And I get the feeling that now, when more women are entering the seminaries and maybe are discovering that the parish and being a parish pastor is not quite what they want, maybe the diaconate is really the place that they should be. And I think probably both programs are going to benefit from those women making a slight career change.
I think that's, right now I'm in the process of making transition from my last call to something that I'm not quite sure of yet, but people asked me, well, why don't you go to seminary and become a pastor? And I guess my answer is I really don't feel called to the sacramental life of the church. I feel I can do what I want to do for the church in the role of the deaconess. And I guess anybody going through the LCA program could say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a touch a bit on the history, and the history of the diaconate is fascinating. If you want to go way back, in Romans, it refers to Phoebe as being the first deaconess in the 4th century. Deaconesses at this time nursed the sick or prepared women for baptism and kind of education in terms of the Christian faith and cared for the poor. Theodor Fliedner, who was commemorated, I think several months ago, was a German pastor, a remarkable, amazing person. Boy, if somebody wanted to do a movie or something on television, what an amazing man. Got into all sorts of phases of social work, taking care of orphans, women who had been imprisoned, and he set up a kind of halfway house for them. And it was he who recognized the value of women working in the church. There are a number of books that have been placed in the library, and I've got copies of them here. One of them is on Theodor Fliedner, and just an amazing story. I don't think that man ever slept or took time to eat. Did just some remarkable things. And then 100 years ago, I believe it was 7 German deaconesses came to this country. And I happened to write the commemoration of one of the later Norwegian deaconesses who came. And the amazing story and the energy that she had and some of the situations she would find herself in you know, coming, not knowing the language and so forth. Just an exciting, really marvelous story of one of the early saints of the church. So this is, you know, the beginning of the roots. In the LCA today, there are 137 deaconesses, about half of whom are retired. So you can see that it's a very small, and I use the word elite, core of women, not to make them sound snobbish, but it's a very small group. Maybe as we reach the end of our presentation, we can talk about why that is and where we think maybe the direction of the diaconate will go. Now, on the contrary, you have...
Well, our program has about 250 women that are now serving in some way across the United States. A few more.
But not an enormous number.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Our class at school was about, we had about 20 people that went through the program. Mm-hmm. And the numbers has gone down from there. And I think part of the problem is PR. People not really knowing that this is an opportunity for women to serve in the church, a way to go other than becoming a minister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do they pay you? Is it a salary basis on a yearly basis? Or?
Through my program, that is arranged between me and whoever calls me or employs me. In the LCA, that's a little different.
I wouldn't be able to comment on that.
I think that they may have a similar arrangement, but I do know that part of their wages, part of their salary must go back to the mother house to help support that mother house.
Yes.
Because that is where the retired deaconesses can go and be sustained.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's true. 3% of their income goes back, as I understand it. Let me speak briefly about the volunteer program that I was in, and I do have information on the diaconate and the program I was in. The Associate in Diaconal Service program is open to men or women 18 years old or older. And when I see some of these marvelous Holden volunteers, I think, wow, you know, get yourself to the other side of the country. They'll pay your transportation, but get your application in. It's a one-year volunteer program, and they will take persons with professional or non-professional skills. The oldest person in our group was in her early 70s, I believe, and the youngest person was 21, I think. This would be an excellent opportunity for congregations. If you would have some sort of an idea of some special service that could be performed in the church, or if you just had another pair of hands or another person, you would pay $500 to the diaconate and then pay this person a $20 a week stipend, $25, room and board, and you would have a one-year volunteer. And I think that's an amazingly good deal. Some of these people will be professional people who have a great number of skills that will be helpful in a congregation. You go to the diaconate in Gladwin for 3 weeks, and this is an orientation, Bible study, acquaints you with the diaconate, and sort of gives you a base, sort of a grounding, a spiritual tie, as it were. And then your transportation is paid both to the diaconate, to your place of service, and from your place of service. So that would be another bill that the church or the employing agency would pick up. And people worked in all sorts of capacities. Two people in our group went to a children's home, one to Lutheran Social Services of Southern California, one Lutheran Social Services of Racine, Wisconsin. Three of us went into daycare. Two into outdoor ministries or camps, two into retirement homes. One stayed at the mother house and worked with retired sisters. One worked in a home for unemployed women in Washington, D.C. And then one of the gals is still unplaced and is trying to find a location. But very exciting to have a chance to see the diaconate and to meet the people there.
Is that the main goal of the program, is to get a feel of the diaconate or to give people a chance to serve?
Well, it is, but it isn't. This is not necessarily a recruitment program. Now, ordinarily, they will have several people or a percentage of this group of people who will go into the diaconate. But that is not the primary goal. And they are taking men in the program as well. And sometimes they've taken couples and then placed them in some sort of a social service agency or something like this.
That's an issue that our program has really struggled with, is do we open it up to men going through our training and serving the church? And I think that struggle will come to a head as we have our synods going through the union process. Mm-hmm. I think John and Mary Schramm here at Holin have struggled with that in terms of their orders, and that may be, as the church comes together, as the Lutheran church comes together, that may be something that they'll want to struggle with, that both men and women who do not feel called to the sacramental life of the church would have an opportunity to go through some training process to equip them to work for the church. Again, that's somewhere down the line.
Right. This is already beginning to happen in a very intentional way in a part of the church. I know within the East Coast Synod of the AELC, of which I'm a part, they have now established and defined the office of deacon. They have the educational standards for it and are now employing, and I'm not sure what the correct term is, whether they're ordaining or what equivalent thereof, as an order of ministry. It seems to me that this being really the biblical office in which the diaconate has its rootage should be the future of it all, and that ultimately men and women alike should be able to serve the church not as deacons or deaconesses, but all as deacons without distinction, just as we have now, for a large part, opened the pastoral office to men and women alike.
And now you're speaking from an AELC standpoint?
Yes,
the AELC?
That is in being.
And the ALC on the West Coast here, I believe, is also...
It's a growing phenomenon.
Yes.
And right now it's happening in bits and pieces all over the country. And what really needs to happen is something that's going to bring it together and give it some shape and form so that people know about it and it can become a vital force in the church. I think right now it's just scattered pieces that people hear about here and there. And
I think it is also very clear at this point that this will become something that will be studied and recommended on in the formation of the New Lutheran Church. The Commission on the New Lutheran Church has this on its agenda.
And I understand John and Mary Schramm are doing some...
We will be doing special
research
studies
and
over the next
preparation
several years in this.
On that, yes.
It would seem that some educational effort, for instance, even in brief articles in the Lutheran Standard, for instance, and I don't know what your paper is, but would be nice for lay persons to... As you said, it is a well-kept secret.
Okay,
yeah, at least in our...
Keep your eyes and ears open, because the articles are there, and I think we'll be there more so. And I've got lots of info. I've got more coming in. You know, pick it up, read it, share it. And as I said, I can get more where that came from. I wonder if maybe now we could quickly show the slides, and then let's open it up to more questions. Would that be okay? Or do you have anything...
Okay, why don't you get the slide? I think one of the problems has been that we as deaconesses have really just struggled ourselves with our own identity. So to try to begin to think that we open this up to a program up to men too is something that we really haven't wanted to touch yet. But with the merger happening, it may help us take steps in that direction.